Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. This is your host, Tom Blumenthal, and things are kind of crazy tonight. I have to apologize to you guys, but I'm not at home right now. I'm actually in the car, and I got caught in some traffic in like a super construction project or something, and traffic is a nightmare. So you guys have to bear with me because I'm trying to get home as we speak. But my very special guest tonight on the show is going to be the one and the only, the legendary icon, Kevin Omni. And Kevin is going to come on and talk to us about mental health issues in our community, in the ballroom community, because Lord knows we have them. Some of y'all are just flat out crazy, and that's the only way to put it. But Kevin's going to come on, and he's going to talk to us about mental health issues. And he's going to also come on to shed some light on some of these community-based organizations and some of their problems. And we'll make tonight the last night that we have kind of, I guess, an expose, if you will, on problems of the CBOs. Hopefully after tonight, things will start to change and they will get things together. But in any event, Rhonda Jenkins will be coming on with us. You guys have to excuse me, but I'm not at my computer. I'm trying to do this from my cell phone and my Sidekick all at the same time, so I can't really do my sound effects and all the other things that I like to do with the show. But as soon as Rhonda comes on the line, and we will talk to Rhonda, and then Kevin will come join us a little later around 9:20 or so. And then also coming back on with us tonight will be the one and the only Miss Aviance. She called in last week. Well, he called in last week because he's a he. And we were so pleased to have him on the show. He was a key cackle, so he's going to be coming back on tonight to talk to us and, you know, give us some tea and give us some celebrity dish and all of those things. So I really appreciate you guys joining me once again. And let me also thank everybody for all of the kind words that you all sent me after last night's show. It was very, very difficult to do the show, but I felt like that, you know, I owed it to you guys to try to do the best that I could and give you a show. So we went ahead and went on with it. But we still have on our hearts and our minds the memories of Reese, Eric, and Juicy. And so tonight, if you want to call in and just remember somebody very special that went on that you lost, please feel free to do so. I will take those calls. But I'm going to have to tell y'all up front, it's going to be kind of difficult for me to take phone calls because, again, I'm on my Sidekick trying to operate the switchboard. And as you know, that's very slow. So, but as soon as I can get home out of this traffic, which will be probably in another 20 minutes, I'll be able to be up and running fully, so I'll be able to run everything from the computer. But for those of y'all that have been to Atlanta, y'all know what traffic is down here. Plus, on top of the fact, they got construction going on, and it's starting to rain. So, I mean, how many things can go wrong in one night? Let me see if Ron is on the phone now. I want to thank you guys for tuning in to Serve the Kids Radio at blogtalkradio.com/servethekids. And I'm your very special host, Tom Blumenthal. And again, my special guest for the night will be Kevin Omni. We have Rhonda Jenkins joining us very shortly, as well as Miss Aviance. And gosh, this traffic is just terrible. You guys just won't believe it. Y'all can see the traffic that I'm stuck in. Y'all will understand. Let me go to the phone lines right now, if I can get Rhonda on, because Rhonda is on the phone. Rhonda, if you can just bear with me, I'm trying to click you in via my Sidekick. Thank God for T-Mobile. I don't know what I would be able to do without my Sidekick. But Rhonda, I'm coming to you in one second. I'm trying to bring your call up as we speak. It's just taking a little bit of time because I am on my Sidekick. Rhonda, can you hear me?
Yes, Tom, I'm here, baby.
Oh, thank goodness. Rhonda, you don't know what I've been through trying to get this this computer thing going. But, you know, I'm stuck in traffic.
Oh, well, I understand, baby. I mean, it happens to the best of us, honey.
Yeah, and you wouldn't believe where I am. Are you familiar with Snellville?
Yes, I am, Tom.
Don't ask me how I ended up all the way out here, but I'm all the way in Snellville trying to make my way back down. You know, I live all the way downtown Atlanta, so I'm trying to make my way back downtown. And I got stuck in construction traffic. And I can't tell you the reason why, but I did. So.
Well, Tom, honey, you can't go meet the dates in the middle of rush hour and expect to get back in time to do your show, honey. I mean, you had a show to do.
Well, Rhonda, thanks, sweetie, but I'm not coming out to meet dates, all right? I was trying to cue your music up, Rhonda, but I can't even get to your music because I'm on my Sidekick and it's not showing all of that. It's not showing the music. I guess I can give you some applause. Let me see if that works because my Sidekick is only showing like half of the screen. Oh, there it is.
Oh, well, all right.
Welcome to the show, Rhonda.
Well, thank you, Tom. I'm glad your Sidekick has all those features, honey.
Yes, I don't know what I would do without this Sidekick, can I tell you the truth? But, Rhonda, what you got for us tonight? Anything special going on?
Honey, nothing special going on Rhonda's end, honey. I was fag-free over the weekend, honey. So
what did you do? What did you do this weekend?
I was with the real family this weekend, Tom.
Oh, okay.
Yes, barbecued and cooked out and played with nieces, nephews, and grandnephews, and aunts and uncles. And
that must have been interesting.
You know? Yes, and, you know, everyone still wants to know why Ron, that is, isn't married yet, you know. So we'll keep it moving. Now, I said, we're going to see Auntie, and I kept it moving. Everyone, I'm sure, can.
Hey, when you go to those family gatherings and they ask you those questions, like, where's your girlfriend or where's your boyfriend,
yes,
that kind of stuff.
Exactly, honey. And kids, if you're, you know, if you're any age 27 or older, honey, you're pushing it. But, you know, the family wants to know what gives, honey. And God forbid if you're at least 30 and older.
Yes. Yeah, it never fails. I go home, and my grandmother always asks me, "Well, where's your girlfriend? When are you gonna bring your wife?" You know, I tell her, "Granny, I'm not gonna have one of those. So I'm sorry to have to inform you of that, but it won't be none of those." She's still in denial, Rhonda.
Oh, bless her heart. She comes from those schools, so you know.
Yeah. Now I understand that you just made it back home yourself from out and about shopping. Tell us about that.
Oh, yes, Tom. Rhonda's going through some personal issues, honey, trying to relocate and all, and, you know, Rhonda's place had been vandalized, honey, and trying to replace a few items, and they even, you know, I can deal with being burglarized and whatnot on occasion, but some things you just can't replace, Tom, and they even got my camera, and,
oh,
you know,
no.
You know, you can never replace memory, honey, huh?
Yeah, was there any good footage in the camera?
Well, Tom, all I can say is, honey, if that falls into the wrong hands, honey, Rhonda's in some trouble. So are a couple of celebrities, honey. We won't call them that. A couple of ballroom kids as well, honey. So.
Oh, no. In your camera?
Huh?
On your camera?
on the camera, honey, because you know Miss Kimmer has not only still footage but also video footage features. So, you know,
wow.
people trust Rhonda to carry on in the name. You know, carry on with Rhonda and such. So, honey.
Manda, let me make a quick announcement, people. I don't know why every time the show starts, people start blowing my Yahoo up, asking me what the site is. Can y'all bookmark the site? It's blogtalkradio.com/servethekids. I'm getting, like, back-to-back instant messages asking me, what's the number? What's the site? Let me make a quick announcement about Eric's funeral. Eric Turner, as you guys know, he passed away yesterday in that tragic car crash up in Indiana coming back from Chicago. Eric's funeral is going to be this Sunday at 3 p.m. I understand that the wake for Reese is going to be on Friday and the funeral on Saturday, and Juicy's arrangement still undetermined at this time. I'm just receiving a text message from Larry LaPerla. And Larry also told me that he's got a special rate set up for his hotel for anybody that's coming in town for the funeral. Larry, if you're listening, could you text me the hotel? I don't know what the hotel is. Larry just texted me and said his hotel is offering a funeral discount of $49.99 for the weekend for anyone who wishes to go to Louisville to pay their respects to Eric, Reese, and Juicy, all three who perished on yesterday in that terrible car crash.
That's sweet.
Yeah, so I did want to put that information out again. Eric's funeral is going to be on this Sunday at 3 o'clock. Reese's wake will be Friday. I don't know the time. The funeral for Reese will be on this Saturday, and Juicy's information has still not been completed as yet. And again, Larry LaPerla has his hotel is offering a discount rate of $49.99 for the weekend for anyone who is going there for the funeral. So I'm trying to get the name of the hotel. If y'all want to hit Larry up on his Yahoo, the Yahoo name is Larry N-K-Y. It's L-A-R-R-Y-N-K-Y.
Okay, well, Ronnie, so what happened? What all did they take from you, sweetie?
Well, honey, just this laptop, honey.
Your laptop?
And, yes, Tom.
Wow.
So,
did you get that replaced?
Yes, I just got it replaced as we speak today, honey. So, you know, you almost didn't have Roger on the phone line either because I just walked in the house, child. And,
oh, my.
I did happen to save a dollar or three, Tom, because I ended up having to get the display model because they were out of the one that I wanted. It was
mm-hmm.
the last one, but I did save 10% for it being the display. But now I get this computer home, Tom, and can't even get through the password. Now, that's a problem. Yeah.
Mm.
I'm losing time. So, but overall, it's just. It's just bad on Rhonda's part, honey, because everyone should have renter's insurance, honey. And
yes.
I didn't set that up. And, I mean, kids, I don't care if you feel like you have nothing or something. If you don't have renter's insurance, please, please, please get it. People told me plenty of times it's somewhere like anywhere from like $10 to $15 a month. But once you're trying to replace things, honey, it gets expensive. So...
Well, Rhonda, you didn't really have to pay that much because you get the hookup. Right? You got the inside hookup on that computer, don't you?
Well, yes, I did, Tom. I did get the hookup on that. And hopefully, kids, I told Tom this needs to be a topic on his show, stunts and crafts, you know, and free hookups and whatnot. So not
well,
that Rhonda. Well, hear me out, Tom.
What?
Hear me out, Tom. Rhonda does not stunt or craft. But I will admit, Tom, I have benefited. I will admit I have benefited from a gift card here, something hot there. I'm trying to sell this for that. So, yeah, I mean, I'm sure all the kids, whether you're on the straight and narrow or whatever.
Let me ask you this question, Rhonda. We can do that as a topic one day, but is it wrong to benefit from that kind of stuff? So you don't do it yourself. You don't start yourself, but if somebody – you know, has a $100 gift card to Walmart and you give them $50 or $40, I mean, is that bad?
Well, it's hard to say. Well, truthfully, Tom, in society's eyes, yes, it is bad. But in, I want to say, in the average person's mind, and I use that loosely, it's a hookup. Okay? So, I mean, hey, it's a come up. It's a hookup. It's a, all right, I came up, you know, work, yes. You know, it's saving you a dollar, but I will say karma is a bitch. What goes around comes around. So, you know, hey, my computer, my apartment being vandalized or whatever could have been for me benefited in the past from something, in, you know.
And they got you.
I mean, yes. You know, anything as small as I've been in Atlanta to the club, the Palace, or Trademark, or whatever that is, and I've been in the parking lot or asking for your cash, and they run a car through the machine, and they keep the cash. You
know,
you know, it's a $5 parking pay, and they ask for $2. And
wow.
So they just run it through there. Anything as small as that is, you know, you're coming up. You save $3. Hey, that's the cocktail. So,
yeah. Oh, boy. Well, Rhonda Dinkins, ladies and gentlemen, is my very special guest right now with my sidekick, my partner in crime, as we wait for the legendary icon Kevin Omni to call in. And I kind of feel bad because I can't really give Kevin the due justice that he's due, you know, like the love that he's due, because I'm in the car. But we're going to make this thing work some kind of way when Kevin gets on the phone. Kevin has a lot to share with us, and we are eagerly anticipating his arrival to the show. You're listening to blogtalkradio.com/servethekids, and I'm your host, Tom Blumenthal. On the phone with us right now, though, the one and the only, the legendary tea spiller herself, Miss Rhonda Jenkins. But yeah, Rhonda, I think you're right. We've all benefited from hookups here and there, and so whether we want to admit it or not, you know. Rhonda? Ladies and gentlemen, it seems like we've lost Rhonda. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's because I'm in the car. Rhonda, are you there, hon?
I'm here,
yeah.
Hon. I was having phone problems. I don't know what happened.
Oh, God, I thought we had lost you because I was in the car doing the show.
The last thing I heard you say was something about a hookup.
Yeah, I said that we've all, as you said, we've all benefited in some way or another from hookups. And
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I don't actively go out and search for people that are selling stolen goods and try to buy them, you know.
Right.
But, you know, hey, if somebody offers this or that, and I won't go into detail, but, you know.
Right.
They're really considerate. Do you really want to turn down an Apple Mac Pro if they're offering it to you for $300 or $400 when they cost a couple thousand in the store, you know, or something else to that? I don't think so.
Right. And I mean, I feel safe in saying that everyone has benefited one way or another. And if you, you know, for the kids who may want to frown their noses up or say they have it, I say to them, child, please. Because I'm sure that, you know, some way, shape, form, or fashion, you benefited from the smallest to the maybe even the largest type of hookup.
Right.
So.
Oh, my God. Rhonda, can you hear this rain hitting the window? I mean, it's really coming down over here.
Well, I hear you kids in Dallas. I'm sorry, Atlanta have a drought anyway, so you need that rain.
Yeah, there is a drought. There's not one with me, though, but there is a drought going on.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we do need that rain. I'm going to have to slow down a little bit and pay attention because I don't want to end up in a car crash.
This is true, Tom, because anyone who's ever been with Tom in his car while he drives, honey, know what he gets.
Oh, gosh, please, Rhonda, stop it. I'm trying. Let me go check my sidekick right now. I need to refresh my sidekick. That's going to take a few seconds. I'm trying to wait on Kevin to call in. Kevin, if you're out there, we're waiting on you to call in so we can get your interview off the ground. Oh, by the way, Rhonda, later on, Miss Aviance is going to be coming back on the show to talk to us tonight.
Oh, yes. Okay, Miss Aviance by day.
Yes,
someone else by night.
He says he wants to kiki with you a little bit, shoot the breeze.
Oh, well, that'll be great. Rhonda's going to have to get off for a little bit and handle a little business and definitely come back on and key cackle with Ms. Aviance for a little while.
Yeah. Let me give a quick shout-out real quick while I'm thinking about it. My website, servethekids.com. If you're interested in ball DVDs, you can definitely go to servethekids.com and click on the DVD store, and we have a huge selection of items there for your viewing pleasure. Our latest project is the Sex Siren Volume 3 DVD, which is doing quite well, by the way. an excellent compilation of some of the most sexiest men you'll ever see in the ballroom scene. So I encourage everyone to pick a copy or two up of that, give it to your friends, send it to your mom, maybe even to your grandma. They would absolutely love it. And I'm sure your grandmother would love to watch those guys and reminisce back into her younger days when she could cut a rug. So
and drop it like it's hot.
Yes, so definitely pick that up and send that to your family members. Now, let's see, I think, is this Kevin on the phone? I thought that was Kevin. Let me go to my phone lines, Ronnie, because I believe that's Kevin on the line now. Kevin, if you're there, just stand by. I'm trying to come to you as we speak, but I'm on my sidekick, so just give me a little bit of time. But, Rhonda, it's been a pleasure having you on with us. I want to thank you for all that you've done to help with the show and be a part of the show. And I want to thank everybody who's listening, because you guys have supported me since day one. And it's not been easy, and this week certainly hasn't been easy, but we're doing this show for you guys, and I really appreciate your support. And next week, oh, by the way, we're going to be doing the dating game. Did I tell you about that, Rhonda? We're going to do a live dating game show on the air. So
oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah, Kevin, are you on? No, okay, that's Rhonda. Yeah, so if you're lonely and you don't have a man or whatever it is that you want to have next to you at night, by all means, you're going to want to participate in this dating game show live on air. This just may be the thing that you've been waiting for, to bring that, you know, that man into your life. So I'm waiting for Kevin to come on the line. I'm trying to bring him up now. Kevin, just bear with us, because I'm on my sidekick trying to operate all this. The switchboard. But Rhonda,
you're doing
a
great job, Tom, by the way.
Thank you.
I mean, because, you know, I'm more than sure it's hard enough for you to drive as it is, Tom. But for you to drive and manage the show and work your sidekick and all this
people,
stuff.
I don't think y'all really believe that I'm actually driving. Can you hear the horn beeping? I'm really in the car driving while I'm on the show. And I got, like, one hand on the steering wheel. My sidekick is in that hand that's on the steering wheel, and my other hand is to my ear. Let me see if Kevin, are you there?
Hello?
Yeah, Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, welcome to the show, everyone. Kevin, I'm sorry about this, but you know
I'm on the show.
Yeah, I'm in the car, and I'm trying to do all this stuff all at one time and trying to drive safely. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
The legendary
good to be
icon,
here.
Kevin, I'm
lifetime
achiever. Ronda Jenkins.
Hi, Rhonda.
Hi, how you doing, Kevin?
I'm hanging in there, baby. It's hot as I don't know what.
All
it's hot, hazy,
world.
Humid. Yeah.
Yes.
So hey, how's everybody?
We're doing good. And listen, Rhonda, if you have to go, just by all means, let me know, and we'll let you get off the line. But
I'm gonna call in on the second hour, okay?
Yeah, call
okay.
in by that time. I'll be at home, and everything will be settled down. So call in
okay.
at that. All right, ladies and gentlemen,
joining the show.
Okay.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's Rhonda Jenkins. Thank you, Rhonda. We'll be talking to you later.
Okay, Tommy.
Okay, what's up, Kevin? How are you?
Well, I'm hanging in there. You know, I'm just blessed and proud to be alive and healthy and just, you know, living life.
Right,
and,
I got you.
Yeah, and, you know, your shows have been very interesting to me. It's so much information and education, you know, these days, and I think that's one thing that we need to always do, continue you know, our efforts in educating the people, especially in the community,
mm-hmm.
especially the ball community, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about two things tonight.
Okay, I understand you want to do mental health, and then what's the other topic you wanted to touch on?
Agency issues.
Agency issues. Okay, where should we begin? Because I know you got a lot on those topics.
Well, let's start off with agency issues.
Okay.
You know, after listening to, well, first of all, I want to talk about this one particular agency in New York City that I am so, you know, I want to talk about something positive, you know, because we hear all the negative, but we also need to know about the positive as well.
Right.
This agency called The Door in New York City, I am so impressed with what they do for the youth of today. It's like those are, what they do for the kids there. You know, from education, they have like an alternate high school from 7th to 12th grade, free medications for children for whatever their problems are, whether it's HIV or cancer or just whatever you need, they make sure that these kids get it. And there's no blockage in the way as far as if you don't have a Medicaid card or if you don't have this or that, you still are entitled, as long as you're part of their program, to free medication. And I find that to be very, very helpful and very important. And
what's the agency called again?
I couldn't hear you.
What's it called again? The name
it's
of that
called
agency?
It's called The Door, D-O-O-R.
Door. Okay.
Yeah, so if anybody's out there, especially in the New York City area, that needs to go and get an education or just be involved in a program that's looking out for their best interest, The Door is the place to go.
Okay.
All right.
So that's an agency that's doing some positive things.
Very positive. I mean,
Kevin?
Yeah. I mean, they have audio equipment. They help the kids get into the music industry. They have soundproof booths for them to practice their music on and computer labs attached to piano keyboards. I mean, just amazing everything they have there, from art to music to education to, you know, just life skills.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is what's needed nowadays. You know, and it's everything with the agency issue seems to be intertwined with our health issue.
Well, if that agency is doing such a great job, then why can't the other ones do it?
Well, you know something? That's a wonderful question. I think when Barbecue Shade was on, he was talking about leadership. And, you know, I have this thing about effective leadership. My thing is that, you know, I think most agencies should turn around and understand that they need to hire professionals, you know, professionals who are experienced, who have education as well as training. But not only just that, for the HIV/AIDS organizations, there has to be some kind of job sincerity. You know, are you doing this because you really want to help people with HIV or AIDS, or are you doing this because you're just being paid? You know, because some people just go to work every day just so that they can see their check, and then they don't have the sincereness in their heart. You know, so we got experience for leaders who should be it, as well as, you know, sincere about what they do. And, you know, because this brings up another issue of trust. You know, how do we, when we hear all the negative, be able to trust anything that you say?
Right.
You know, and then where is your support? You know, instead of wasting time with who did what scandal, is this, that, and the other, you know, we should be focused on the support that you give the people.
You know what, Kevin? You know what I was thinking yesterday, not to cut you off, but what I was thinking about yesterday, When Gary came on yesterday, which I was so glad he came in to give his version of things, but when both of them were on together, it just struck me all of a sudden that this thing is so heady to me. In the bigger picture, and it didn't come to me like that until yesterday after I learned about the deaths of those three people, one of whom I was really good friends with.
Yeah.
But after finding out about those three people dying, and then you compare that to that bickering and stuff that they're doing with those agencies, and I was like, you know, this is the most petty nonsense I've ever heard in my life.
Well,
you know,
I agree, not
to take away from the importance of those agencies, because they are important, and anytime there's an individual or a group of people that's mismanaging, that's also important as well. But all the fighting and the infighting and the bickering and you know, stabbing in the back and he said, she said, I just thought it was really petty for grown adults, professionals so-called, to be acting in that manner. And that's not directed to any one person, but anybody who's a part of that, whoever they may be, it's petty to me.
Oh, really?
I totally agree.
Because
while they're doing all that craziness, people are dying.
Okay. That's the bottom line. I mean, this is the whole thing that I'm talking about, the issues such as, you know, it's crazy. It's like people want help out here. You know what I'm saying? For whatever their problems are. And they depend on going to some of these agencies for that help. And just like on your show, one person called in and said, though they have been there, and nobody's been there. You know what I'm saying? They've come to POCC, for example, and nobody's been there to help them. So it goes on to another issue of availability. You can't give support unless you're available. And availability falls under the category of returning phone calls, or returning emails, just treating people as important as who they are and for what their situation is.
Right.
You know, I look at how they do things for, like, testing and stuff. you know, for HIV. And I find that, like, you know, like, that's the biggest thing they're doing now. We're doing testing. We're finding out who's positive. But then I also know that there are a lot of kids out there who already know they're positive and actually go to get these tests, you know, to do the testing just to get the money. So with that in mind, I mean, it goes from state to state knowing they're positive, but we're going to take the test because you're going to give it to us. We can get that $50. You know, that's unfortunate. So your statistics aren't really that authentic. How could it be?
Right.
You know, and then I look at, most agencies, you know, that give out perspectives so that you know where they're spending the money, how they're spending it, and what they're doing for the community. That's not always available either. You know, everything.
What do you think about the whole issue or the cloud that's over the POCC group right now?
Okay, well, I'm glad that you asked me. I just want to start off with something that I remember, and I'm kind of jumping the gun now, but I remember the first year of POCC. See, everybody is up in arms about POCC's executive director right now, misappropriating funds, but I remember the first year POCC was open, the very first year the executive director and assistant were fired because they were not misappropriating funds, but they were smoking crack and having sex with the HIV clients.
Oh, my.
So it seems to me that some people, the new school kids, don't know about that, but when the POCC first got started, their executive director and assistant had to be fired because of behavioral, you know, matters and drug problems. So maybe it's a curse on the agency, you know, because here
wow.
It is years later, you have you know, issues about drugs and, you know, and improprieties and this, that, and other. And everybody that's – the only people that are really being hurt are the people that need these services. No matter what, people with HIV and AIDS now are basically in crisis because they don't even have a place that they can get some help from. I mean, a lot of the funding has now been cut from the black gay organizations, which brings me up to another point. Wow, you know, why do we need 5 agencies in New York City all for the ball community when the ball community of New York City may have 250 people only? You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? We're not talking about the ball people around the country. We're talking about New York. You may have 250, let's give it 300 people. So why do you need 5 agencies doing the same thing?
Right, exactly. I've
you
often
know,
wondered that, too. It's like a duplication of service.
Duplication
and
of services.
Wouldn't it be more effective to combine them? I've always wondered that, too.
I would think so. And then after visiting this agency at the door, I'm telling you, I was just so impressed that I wish that they would extend their services to the adults so that, you know, people can really get some help. Because, I mean, for years, the only thing these agencies have done is given free balls. And
right.
to me, I always said, if you're sick.
Oh, go ahead, Kevin, because I want to ask you something about that. Go ahead.
Yeah, if you're sick, you know, then what you could do is you can go walk a free ball, grand prize, and get money, and then you can pay for your medication. Because all the money that's spent on it, I can go into just, like, maybe the House of Latex for years, since 1993, has had the best of venues, the best of everything, and I'm sure they've spent over $500,000. You know what I'm saying? Just on free balls. And then my point is, just because you're doing testing at these balls, that's the later thing that they started doing. Earlier, they did nothing but give you condoms and a brochure and a pamphlet.
Well,
so I couldn't see how that helped.
Yeah, I want to ask you a question because the whole
idea of a free ball. I mean, I think it's great that these agencies reach out to people, and that I think the ballroom scene and at a ball is the perfect place to do it because you have all these people in one location. But I don't know if that's the most effective. Well, I don't know if an agency should be in the business of having balls. I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Okay,
and I
want
to get your opinion on that as well.
Oh, wow, my opinion of that. I think that, you know, it's really funny. Let me tell you a little story. In the early 80s, the agencies wanted nothing to do, no association with the ball community. It was like we were just wow people. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And only when the HIV/AIDS epidemic occurred did the agency start focusing on us. Why, you ask? Because we became important as a grant-writing community. In other words, we gave them jobs. They came into this community, and then, you know, they accepted this community because they could get grants to help us. Other than that, prior to that, they didn't want no parts of us. And I was there.
We were
nobody. We were just bald kids voguing all over the place and too effeminate for most of the gay community's nerves. So it was like, child, please. You know, but now that they can write for grants, hey, we became special. Not only did we become special, they started giving those free balls, which cut into the ball economics of the actual producers. When you had to produce a ball, you pulled that money out your pocket. But in no shape, form, or fashion can we compete with agency money.
Right, and a free ball.
Yeah, for a free ball. And not only that, it's become a point where the free ball producers and stuff are, like, giving you they come with the money, the biggest venues, the trophies, they're more elaborate. So it's like capitalizing off the ball scene. And not only that, they capitalize off of the categories that we have, and more importantly, our history. It's like
I'm going to let you go into that history thing because that's important too, because I read a post online today from Terrence who had to correct a lot of the mistakes with the history of the latex ball. And I have to be honest, and full disclosure, because I want to be fair, I do not support the latex ball for the simple fact that they have, for the last, three or four years that I've been filming balls, they will not let me come and film balls. And I remember the first latex ball that I went to my very first year of filming, and I was treated so badly by them. I've never been treated so badly as a professional.
Right.
Never have I ever been treated like that. So I vowed never to ever go back to another latex ball, and I have not been back.
Well,
but,
go ahead.
But I was just going to say, as far as the whole ball thing with the agencies, I just got a text message from somebody saying that these agencies are throwing balls for the status of it. How do you respond to that?
I believe so. It's like, you know, we've done a job. You know, we gave you a ball. We gave you an elaborate ball. We spent your money for HIV and AIDS, for a ball, okay? It's just like spending HIV and AIDS money by certain directors for parties or tickets or whatever it is that's not really legal or helping the community.
Right.
I understand, but I'll give you something else. Wolfgang Busch, my associate, had volunteered for the GMHC for like 10 years, free of charge. And then the moment he wanted to film the ball and get into the How Do I Look project, the House of Latex treated him very badly as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they want their own control. It's the same problem that we kind of had, me and Wolfgang, with, you know, Mike Mugler. He used to come to the beginning stages of the meetings for How Do I Look project, but then somewhere down the line when we were going to establish a empowerment project from the How Do I Look, he wanted full control. He made himself the chairperson. And because that didn't work, he got angry, so he's a little taken aback by me and taken aback by Wolfgang. You know, and how do you steal somebody else's project? I was even approached.
Kevin, I'm sorry. I want to throw something in here while we're talking about this because I want to be very clear for everyone who's listening. You're listening to my very special guest, Kevin Omni, the legendary icon, and I'm your host, Tom Blumenthal. But I wanted to point out that the comments that I'm making – in regards to the latex ball, I'm speaking on my own behalf at this point as a entrepreneur and just a person. I'm speaking for myself. So I don't want anybody throwing shade to my house. I am a member of the House of LaCroix, but at the same time, right now, my comments do not represent the views of the House of LaCroix. They represent my own views. So I want to make that very clear distinction because I don't want anybody to try it. I don't want these queens to try it, try to fill it because of something that I said. So let's make that clear. But, Kevin, I mean, so categorically you say, or you believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the agency should not be having these free balls because of what reasons?
Well, okay, let's say that maybe they shouldn't be having them. How about maybe if, say, the GMHC and POCC and GMAD and Harlem United had one major free ball, and within that free ball, given educational lessons of, you know, HIV prevention, AIDS prevention. What, you know, given it only takes one time. It doesn't take four or five several balls a year to do the same exact thing. You know, I find that to be ridiculous because then all of that other money could be put towards something else. Even though sometimes they've said to me, oh, we get certain amount of monies to be able to do these balls and this is what that money is for. To me, you know what, that's what you're telling me. I don't know. I don't know,
but I find that hard to believe for some reason. But they, I don't know about that. But
well,
what exactly? See, when I'm at these balls, I'm usually filming, so I'm in one place during the whole function, so I don't see what type of services that they're providing. But what type of services are they providing at these balls that they can provide, say, at their office or even on the street?
Well,
you know,
That's what I've been saying. You know, you throw some condoms and some pamphlets on the table. There was one time Latex did filling out HIV surveys, you know what I'm saying? And people just checked whatever and went ahead on in because that was the requisite of getting in for free. You know what I'm saying? So I really can't see how they've been so effective when the HIV-AIDS rate is still skyrocketing.
Right.
There's no results to whatever this education they're giving out. And testing, like I said, that's not accurate, especially when you got children that know they're positive and want to make money.
That's a very good point. Usually when you're receiving grants and things of that nature and you're doing special programs that are tied to those grants, you usually have to provide some type of data to show what type of effect you're having on a target population. Like you have a goal in mind, you target a specific group, and then you provide data to show that, we've reached XYZ goal or we did not meet XYZ goal. So if they are doing these balls back-to-back, I'm certain that they have a target audience. I'm certain that they have some goal in mind. But you say that obviously everybody knows that the HIV rate continues to rise, then how could they possibly be meeting the objectives?
Well, this is my point. And, you know, to me, the only thing they've met is tapping into the actual ball producer's economics, the ball economy. And like I said, with Latex, now just this year they have something up here recreating history. Now, when we hear about, like, what Terrence said on what you said, Terrence sent a note online, it's true.
Terrence was very detailed about what they were wrong about. And then, of course, somebody came in there and tried to read Terrence because, you know, but all he was doing was giving the facts. And like he said, you can't misconstrue the truth as shade or read because truth is never a read. As far as
well, that's what happens. You know, they turn around and instead of them asking the right people for the history, they turn around and keep, you know, we want to keep the history as accurate as possible. You know, this is why I'm looking forward to calling Terrence's ball a true history ball because it's a fundraiser for the book as well. Oh, and by the way, did you know that you're receiving the Image Award at his ball?
Oh, I didn't know that. Well,
you're one of the recipients of his Image Award. And,
oh, wow. You know what? I can't let that go unnoticed. That really means a lot to me because I often wonder, do people really appreciate, not to toot my own horn, but do people appreciate
what you do?
The work that, and not just me, but Andre also.
Andre Prodigy is also a recipient of this Image Award.
Oh, well, see, that's excellent. And that's excellent. Andre deserves it. You know, he's been doing this longer than me, but it's a lot of work. I don't want to go into that, but people just don't realize how much of work it is.
It's a lot of work, Tom. A lot of work. And like I said, then you have somebody like the Latex Children copying categories and changing, adding their themes. It seemed like the same thing was happening when POCC was listing its ball, the Promise Ball. It was like all of a sudden categories off Terrence Flyer was becoming their categories. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, you know what, there's no uniqueness, no originality or anything. It's just like it all seems like you capitalize off the money or just capitalize off the ballroom theme, their history, everything, and try to change it accordingly to as you see it without doing your proper research.
Right, exactly.
You know, and it's very unfair to those who have been there and actually seen it with their own eyes. You know, it's amazing. And then I look at the behavior of our executive directors at some of these agencies, and I'm like, you know, they have to have some kind of representation and respect, you know. And now look at it. It's like, you know, they've taken over Pride in the City and spoke about it on the phone yesterday about Pride in the City and what POCC has done for it. Look at what's going on with it right this minute.
Well, what's going on with it?
The whole thing. Nobody really knows. Terrence's ball is supposed to be the kickoff of Pride in the City was supposed to be. And now it's like there's no Pride in the City website. People can't get any information. You can't call their office and get somebody to call you back. Sometimes you never get through, and you never can even leave a voice message at time. And there was a time when the website was down, their particular website was down for like 2 or 3 months. so you couldn't get any information. It's like the community is left in the dark about what's going on. Now here
right.
it is, New York City used to have what we call Black Pride, New York. And it was ran by James Saunders from 1998 to, I believe, 2002. I was also a board member of Black Pride New York City. And
mm-hmm.
everything that James Saunders did came out of his pocket.
Right.
This man works for a living, been at his job for almost, I think, 30 years now. And, you know, and always gave the U-Manu sweat parties in New York, the ski trips, the bus rides, the boat rides, everything. And yet, for years, he pulled his money out and this other guy, Lawrence Pinckney, and they ran Black Pride New York City for those 4 years with cash out their pockets, no grants and stuff of that nature. And
okay.
if they got sponsors.
Let me stop you right there, Kevin, because I just made it into the house, thank goodness.
Okay,
I want to
great
take a
home
short...
safely.
Yes, thank you. I'm so glad I'm home safely, too. I want to take a short break.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just get everything operational here. I wanted to take a short break, if I could, and then come right back after I log into my home computer and get off my Sidekick so I can really get into the show. I can ask you some questions that I got via email and stuff.
Oh, okay.
So you can just continue to talk. I'm trying to log into my computer right now, but you were talking about
yeah,
Pride
I was
in the
talking
city.
About yeah,
is,
Pride in the City
it,
and
is,
and
is
right
there
now.
Be a Pride in the City this year?
Well,
this
that's what I don't know because I got it from different sources, including the DJ who usually plays for the beach party that usually has a contract on in April and have never gotten a contract up until this day and time we speak.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, will they be playing for the beach party? Will it just be people coming into town and going to a beach party? Or you know what's going on? They have a MySpace page, but to me, I don't really feel like it's being explanatory. It's talking about parties, this, that, and other, but there's no real information where these parties are or anything like that. You know,
right.
I mean, my biggest thing is that, you know, I remember how James Saunders would struggle, you know, with putting out phenomenal amounts of money to make Black Pride work. And then when they came along with their grants and sponsorships, then they kind of like took it away from him. You know, and in 2002, and in the I remember, I think it was the first year or the second year, there was a flyer about a letter of what POCC does, and it has like Gary English on the front, on the inside, and on the back. It wasn't about
mm-hmm.
too much about POCC; it was about Gary. You know, and you know now he's saying yesterday in one sentence, oh well, you know we did Pride in the City, this, that, and other. You're talking about the successful Pride in the Cities you did, which are good, but what about right now?
Right.
You know, how come you know the DJ is not hired right now? This, that, and other. Whatever the case may be, I think that it's owed to this community that if there is really a financial problem, then someone needs to talk about it. Someone needs to be honest about it. Someone needs
mm-hmm.
to say, this is what we can't do. Now, Gary said yesterday that, oh, well, you know what, Mike Robeson is very good and articulate and this, that, and the other. B.B.Q. Shade had said that he didn't know how to write. Gary turns around and says, oh, but they have sloppy bookkeeping. So what is it? Is Michael writing or is it sloppy bookkeeping? What is it? And
right.
if that be
right.
the case, I have some breaking news. And it's unfortunate that Terrence received a phone call. He was very upset at first. He received a phone call from Mike Robeson, who finally returned his call. And when Terrence got ready to ask him something, he says, oh, I'll call you back in 15 minutes. And 15 minutes goes by, and someone else calls him and tells him that POCC is not going to be able to give him the money for the categories.
What?
Now,
are you serious?
I'm very serious.
After they commit it to the ball?
Yes.
They committed to sponsoring the ball.
Yes. Yes. But wait a minute. I just want this to be important, what I'm getting ready to say. Terrence has to now go in his own pockets to pay for those categories. And I want everybody out there to know that he will do that. You understand?
Wow.
They're going to get those categories through regardless to the sponsorship or not. But it's
okay.
very sad. Yeah, okay. Go ahead. I know you're ready to ask me something.
Well, no, I want to stop you there because I'm trying to log into my computer. I'm trying to get off my Sidekick, and I don't know what's going on, but it's not allowed. I guess I have to log out of my Sidekick and then re-log into the computer. So I'm going to try to place you on hold and do a quick break. If
okay.
we lose you, Kevin, then just dial right back in, and I'll bring you right back up.
Okay, certainly.
Okay.
All right.
Frederick in the mix.
Just look sexy. Pose and shit. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. I hope you guys can hear me. If so, can somebody please hit me on Yahoo and let me know if you're able to hear me. I'm having some technical difficulties with the website tonight, and I was trying to log off of my Sidekick and log into the computer, but for some reason I'm not able to pull the site up. So that's why I'm having these issues with the – if you're wondering why the show is, like, just dead silence, that is why. I do apologize. Okay, I'm getting a message now that I can be heard, so thank you for that. But I'm not understanding, like, there's some technical issues that's going on right now, so if you just please bear with me. Sometimes this website seems to have a mind of its own, and I guess tonight is just one of those nights. So I'm waiting on Kevin to call back. I'm back on my Sidekick, so it's going to take me a second to get him on the line. So Kevin will be calling back, and I'll just do the best I can with the show from my Sidekick. I apologize for these problems, and please forgive me. But that's the nature of doing internet radio. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. Y'all know how the internet works. So let's see. I'm getting text messages right now asking me what happened. Basically, the website is having some issues. That's the only thing I can tell you guys. Kevin will be back on in one moment. I'm just waiting on this thing to load on my Sidekick. And as soon as it does, I think that's Kevin right there on the phone. I'll try to bring him on. And we'll continue our conversation about mental health issues and all these problems with these CBO agencies and all of that stuff. Let's see. Is the site. People, if you're trying to log on to the site and you're having problems like I am, can somebody just text me on Yahoo and let me know if you're having trouble logging on to the site or if the site's not coming up at all? Because I don't think it's just my computer. I'm hoping that's not the case, because I can get every other website except for that one. Let's see. Adam for Adam is working. Walk for Me is working. Yahoo is working. So it can't be just – it can't be just my computer. Okay, Kevin, are you there? Can you hear me? Kevin is still – he's on the phone, but I'm having problems loading his phone call on Yahoo. Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, everyone, Kevin is back on the phone with me. You're listening to blogtalkradio.com/servethekids. And everyone that's listening, if you guys are having trouble loading the website in your browser, somebody text me on Yahoo at servethekids and let me know. Kevin, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. Kevin, let's pick right up where we left off. I apologize for that website
okay,
issues,
thanks.
The technical issues?
No, maybe the technical issues came from our agency issues. Maybe the spirit went through the wiring or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, last we spoke, it was about, you know, I just wanted to reiterate about Terrence now having to go in his pockets and pay for those categories, which he has already, you know, stated that he's going to do. So, unfortunately, we don't want to pay too much attention at the fact that, you know, the reneging and Father Mugler, Michael, not being able to have enough respect to call and let him know. He had months
right.
to go. He had months to tell him, you know. Yeah. But it just doesn't surprise me because, just like I said, with the How Do I Look project, when Michael couldn't take control of that, it became like all of a sudden shade towards me and shade towards Wolfgang. You know, like we had done him so wrong because Wolfgang wouldn't give him his film. You know what I mean? And at the same time, he wasn't even supportive of the film. Michael would rather get a venue and show Paris is Burning, which has no HIV and AIDS educational content, whereas How Do I Look talks about HIV and AIDS and the reality of things that go on in the community, which, by the way, is doing well. And it's
right.
It's been used in all these universities for sex education, you know, education. So, you know, what can I say? God is good. We just need to probably be mindful of our positions in life and what we represent and how it affects the community. I find it more than sad. I find, like, I'm a little, here it is, we are, you know, without funding for our Black AIDS organizations. It's like people are starving, people are hungry, people are dying, people can't even make ends meet. And here it is, there's free balls, there's misappropriation of funds, there's all of that craziness. It's like, come on, you know, and then even, like, giving lavish parties. It's okay if you can do that. It's okay if you afford to do that. Like with Gary, with the question of asking him about the party and him saying the mayor came, that's a wonderful thing because he invited people from the AIDS conference. And I've had some friends that were there and told me that maybe it's because the mayor didn't go up to the second floor to the black room to see what was going on. But that doesn't mean that something wasn't going on there that was inappropriate. And having waiters serve you with drinks with no shirts on doesn't reflect the behavior of an executive director who is sincere about the cause of HIV and AIDS. To me, waiters with no shirts on promote sex. You know, I mean, am I wrong?
No.
You know? And I think one of the major reasons why the children don't trust certain agencies is because, you know, their anonymity. Who wants to go to an agency from the ball community and you know that you have a problem because you have HIV or you have AIDS and you walk into this agency and everybody in there that's working is a girlfriend thing that knows you from the ball community? Who's going to seek
right.
help? Who's going to seek help in that instant? This is why
right.
they need to hire professionals and not girlfriends and not having girlfriend panels. All of these things could be stopped when you do things the right way. You know, it's not about me bashing POCC or any of them. It's about the fact of, you know what, enough is enough. People need
yeah.
help. And that's the bottom line. And now they're out here feeling like they can't trust you. All right, are we getting online on the computer?
Yeah, I'm rebooting the computer. Maybe that's the problem. I just need to reboot. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just, like, really gagging at all the things that, you know, even now, here's another issue. Gary came up to me and introduced himself to me in 2006 of December, and he said to me, this was before Mike became the executive director, I think he was just about to or just had, that I should think about maybe doing a film with having dinner with those guys and maybe think about doing a film with them because they had more money, and they were talking about POCC.
Wow.
And the first thing I thought of was, wow, this must be a test of my integrity. They want to see whether I'm going to drop the How Do I Look project or, you know, and run because they have more money, stab my friend Wolfgang in the back, or what? You know, so, you know, when I think about hearing his story yesterday, I think about, you know, his credibility. And then, like you said, you got credit cards and faxes over, you know, while you were there on the show, but yet BBQ Shea was talking about some of those reports being, you know, written for whatever, you know, falsifying records. How do you know any of those records are authentic? It's like, because of that, whether it's real or not, you've already questioned the integrity of a person and the authenticity of what they're saying. You know, that's why I thought the show was kind of crazy yesterday when I said that I'm very angry because I think they're both full of BS, because there was so much back and forth pettiness that, you know what, now you've already put in the minds of everyone. Okay, let's look at the final results. We got Michael reneging on his promises. We got, you know, we got other people talking about what's going on. Everybody knows everybody's business, you know, from scholarships, using money for education, all of that. So where do we come from? How do we come from all of that? I'll tell you how. When I think BBQ Shade was saying reorganization, I think that it would be manly and respectfully, if you've done something wrong, and if you're under any investigation, then why not resign? Why not be honest and tell somebody? Why would you lead people on?
Yeah,
just keep bringing them on. You
right.
know, I mean, is the drugs that strong? Now we'll get into the mental health topic. Is there anything
yeah,
else you wanted
waiting,
to add?
I've been waiting for the mental health thing because, it's a lot to do with that. I think there's a lot of mental health issues, but I'll let you take it.
Okay, I'm going to start off by saying about the mental health issues that in the ball community we certainly need to address. But before I do that, I just want people to know that, you know, I'm not out here to attack nobody. I've always been looked upon as very shady and very this and very that because I always say what I feel is right. And I would say maybe 9 times out of 10 I'm right. And when I'm wrong, I admit it. I have no problem with that. You know, years ago, I had problems with drugs, okay? And, you know, like anybody other human being with some kind of problem, whether it be alcohol, recreational drugs, or pharmaceutical drugs or whatever, it's a disease. It's
right,
a disease.
Right.
And, you
right.
know, and I had to admit, wow, I'm an addict. When I went to my first NA meeting and I said, I'm Kevin, I'm an addict, I knew that this was going to be my reality in order to stay clean and sober. And, yes, there were times I was clean and sober and had relapses. But went on back and pulled it up together, you know. And I don't want to, like, make too many excuses, but I know exactly why I wanted to escape reality. You know, prior in the 70s, I didn't have to worry about HIV and AIDS. I never knew anything about it. We never did. So in the 70s, I was very promiscuous. You know, I was a lovely, attractive little boy with green eyes and didn't have a problem because, you know, they didn't have color contact lenses back then. So if you had green eyes, you stood out.
It had to be real, right.
You had to be real. So, you know, I attracted a lot of boys, okay? And very proud to say today that I'm here going to turn 50 in October, and I'm still okay health-wise. And I have a lover who loves me, and he gets on my nerves. And let me tell you, he's not all that, but he's mine. You know what I'm saying? We're together. But I just want to reiterate that, you know, people will come for me and say, oh, well, we heard you smoke this, you smoke that. I've smoked it, honey. And you know something? Not one time, even with my drug problems or my drug addiction, did I ignore this community, that I ignored or shirked my responsibility. I was there for everyone that needed me. Anyone that wanted to call me from the hospital at 2 a.m. in the morning, I was willing to listen to. It wasn't like, oh, I'm tired, I can't be bothered. I always was there. You know, I never let that be an excuse. I was somewhat what you call a functional addict. Working in
right.
Wall Street for 15 years, you know, and running back and forth. And then the 80s came in, and I watched all my friends starting to die. And at the beginning, AZT was all they were giving people, like in 82, 83. But it was killing more good cells than the bad cells. And that's why they had that skinny, drawn, emaciated look. The faces of AIDS in 82 is not the faces of AIDS you see in 2008. See,
right.
this is why a lot of kids don't feel it's important to listen. Oh, well, child, if he got AIDS or if he got HIV, then I'm not even going to be bothered because he don't look bad. He look like, you know what I'm saying? You got these kids running around here thinking that, you know what I'm saying, we don't have to listen. And all of this falls under the category of mental illness. It's like, you know, I explained one time in the topic, I said, can you go up to a dog and cat and say, listen, I want you to go across the street and I want you to do this. You can't talk and train dogs and cats. And it's bad that I use that analysis like an animal to a human being.
Okay,
you know,
Kevin, let me make a quick announcement, because thank goodness I just rebooted my computer and that was the problem. So I'm now on the computer, on the radio show. So can I do a proper introduction? Because I didn't get to do this when the show first started because I was in the car. Let me do a proper introduction to myself and the show, and then we'll come right back to my very special guest, the legendary icon, Kevin Omni. So stay with us. We'll be right here.
Okay.
Boys and Queens, presenting the Dynamic Ball DVD producer, originator of the Sneaker vs. Sneaker category, executive realness contestant, and member of the House of Laqua, sweetie. He's either loved or hated and is broadcasting live all the way from ATL. Without further delay or hesitation, grab your nuts and squeeze your meat for the one and only Tom motherfucking Blumenthal.
Okay, welcome back to the show, everybody. My very special guest tonight is the legendary icon, Kevin Omni, and I'm so glad to have you on.
Oh, I'm glad to be on, Tom.
Thank you. So,
and let me tell
Kevin,
you.
Kevin, I wish I could have had that song for you. Maybe the next time you come on, I'll get the song and play it
for
you. Okay.
Well, let me say, during the break, that record that was on, I was in here voguing. I was voguing down. I'm serious, and I was getting my exercise on. You know what I'm saying? It's hard when you get near 50 to bend, but you know what? I can bend and do all that. You know, I just do whatever I need to do to stay in shape and keep it going.
I'm giving you a hand, Kevin.
Thank you.
I appreciate you so much. You just don't know.
Let me tell you something, Kevin. While
I'm interviewing you, I have this very sexy man giving me a massage because I've been through so much today.
Oh, baby, you deserve it.
I know. I'm so exhausted right now, and my body is so sore, and so I'm getting a massage that I've been waiting on for a very long time. And
I'm not mad at you.
Let's continue with the show. I want to announce the phone number for everyone who's listening. The phone number is 347-996-3610. Call in. Talk to Kevin. Let's give Kevin some questions. He wants to hear from you, and we also want to help you with your mental health problems. Now, Kevin, let's jump into this whole mental health thing because
mm-hmm.
That's a problem
in our community. Yeah, it is. Like I was saying about the, you know, some people, okay, when I went with the animal analysis, like you can't tell a cat to go across the street and get this, that, and the other. It's almost like talking to people who suffer from mental illness, maybe genetic disorders, maybe been born a crack-addicted baby, you know, and there's chemical imbalances going on. There's natural chemical imbalances that may not be people's faults or anything. It was nothing you did if your parents did drugs, you know. And right now, these crack babies are now 26 years old. You think you counted up from 1982 to now.
You're right.
They're walking around. And then when you hear about people in these universities killing people and shooting up campuses and, you know, these drugs have been really, really bad for everybody. But a lot of people don't look at drugs for what they are. They are a disease. They are part of mental health illness. You know, you have everything from OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, to people who have bipolar or anxiety or schizophrenia or depression. These are real serious problems. And you want to know what? Back then when I was getting ready to say, when I actually started experimenting with drugs was due to a lot of, I was afraid when I saw all my friends starting to get sick from HIV and AIDS and die. It was like every time I turned around, another person had that look. And I'm like, God, I did all that in the 70s, all this promiscuous sex, this, that, and the other. And my God, when am I, my number's going to come up. I'm going to probably be next. So I lived in fear.
Mm-hmm.
And fear caused a lot of people who had a heart or who had a soul and a mind to want to run the drugs or alcohol. It was like a natural, normal thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing to try to accept your sexuality and live with that, but it's another to turn around and watch your friends dying or live through an epidemic and not knowing how to handle it.
Right,
and then,
right.
Then absurd is, this is the absurd part, I started counting how many of my friends died. So like in the documentary, How Do I Look?, I speak about over 400 of my friends. You know, I've done AIDS benefits and fundraisers. Another issue I say that I did it because I had to throw myself into doing something for somebody. You know, I stuffed envelopes. I did whatever I could to help it volunteer. You know, and I never got paid for it. And, you know, my sincerity was there and has still been there. I through my church, I give money to Harlem United and, Harlem Hospital in New York and everything. I do this annually, you know. But it's a lot that I went through that I had to deal with, and I accepted it. So now my thing is to teach others or to talk to others about it. You know, there's problems. When you say mental health, you got people that need therapy, they need counseling, they need medication, they need psychiatry or psychiatrists, you know, to promote healing. And it's unfortunate, you know, that our funds have been cut, you know, the Black AIDS funds have been cut because we truly could need and use some help.
I was just about to say, I wonder how much assistance can be provided by diverting some of that ball money to this issue of mental health.
It could probably be a great, wonderful thing. Like I said, if you think about it, let's see, from 1993 to now is what, 15 years?
Right.
You know, and so the Latex has been given these balls for 15 years. You times it by the venue alone, you know, a cost of a $20,000 venue. Look at the price of that. All that money could be going somewhere else doing some other thing. But you know what? I have been like the black sheep all along. I have had people come out the woodworks to attack me because I was complaining about free balls and I was complaining about money should go somewhere else. And I did that for almost 10 to 15 years. And it
fell
on deaf ears.
Why do you think they made you the black sheep or blacklisted you in a way? Is it
well,
because
you know
of the truth
something?
That you're, I mean, is it because you're not afraid to talk the truth or what is it?
It's both. It's the truth and me being able to talk it and the consequences. In other words, I sometimes have to come out and say things that are raw. And they're like, oh, you're supposed to be an icon. You're supposed to act this way. And I tell them, people look up to you. And I tell them, don't look up to me. Look up to God. I don't want anybody looking up to me. I want everybody to look up to God because that's where you should look up to. You know, I'm a human with flaws. And I make mistakes, you know, and I'm the first one to admit it, and I admitted my drug usage and everything else, you know, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I can't tell you, well, you know what, baby, you need to do something about your problem, you need to do something about this. One thing that strikes me as being very strange in the community is that when they hear about somebody doing bad, they are so willing to talk about it, you know, like instead of reaching out to Michael and saying, you know, Mugler and saying, you know what, baby, you know, you've been wearing these dark shades and something's wrong. You want to talk about it? Or if you found out that that was the case with him or anybody else having a drug problem, why not go and help them? Why must it be that you step on them? You know, I mean, I had every reason to not, you know, like Mike Mugler and Gary, I don't really know that well other than that one approach. But I don't want to see them fall and continue to go down. Like I said, if there's a problem, then what you do is you just own up to it and take care of it. Don't ignore it. You know, you can't ignore it. You can't ignore what's inside of you. And me being a lifetime, as they call it, addict, because you're once an addict, you're an addict for life. It's a constant fight forever, for every day. It's a struggle for every week. It's a struggle. But every time
you
see something.
It's funny. Let me stop the music for a second because that's an interesting point that you raised about the whole drug thing. Because, I mean, I see so many people I know who do drugs. And it's like everybody does it now. And, you say something about it and you almost feel like you're out of place because people look at you like you're crazy because everybody does it.
Yeah.
And people don't realize, like, it starts with weed, and you'd be surprised how many people don't think weed is a drug. And
oh,
I know
yeah.
It probably makes some people upset, but, ladies and gentlemen, I hate to be the one to break this to you guys, but marijuana is a drug, and it is addictive.
Yes,
and it leads to other things. It just, you know, it's like a – you know, it's like a slippery slope, but people don't realize it because they think it's such a one of those calming, you know, we are the world, peaceful drugs, and you don't do nothing wrong when you,
right.
you know, smoke it. And they don't realize how serious it is. I mean, why do you think drugs is so, like, it's almost the norm now.
Yeah, it almost is. And you know something? The thing is that a lot of the drugs are incurable. I mean, drugs like even cocaine or crack, it's incurable. There's no cure for it. but there's a treatment for it. You know, it's just like HIV. It's no cure for it, but there's a treatment for it.
Every once in a while, I might put on my tag, say no to drugs or weed is a drug. And I get so many messages on Yahoo from people reading me because I put those tags up. But I really try to educate people, like, you know, drugs isn't bad. And I get so tired of going to balls and I hear people that I know say, oh, child can't vote unless I get a pill.
And not only that, you know? It's gotten bad, Tom, where I actually heard that, and I don't want the people in Atlanta to be mad at me, but I heard from two reliable sources that, you know, they go into the bathroom afterwards and they see the cracked stems in the bathroom stalls broken on the ground.
Well,
so it's gotten to the point.
I went into a restroom last week. I was at a mini ball. I won't say where. But I went into the bathroom, and I try to avoid restrooms at the club for this reason, but I went into the bathroom, and there were a group of people huddled in the stall. It was only one stall in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew all of them, and I knew immediately what was going on. And I just, you know, walked in and turned around and walked right back out because I didn't even want to be associated with that for, you know, anybody to say they saw me back there. You know what I'm saying? Just to being in there was bad for me, so I just walked back out. But, I mean, you see it all the time. And nowadays, the kids don't even have any embarrassment. They just do it. Like
they do it openly.
Yeah, they take bumps openly in the club, and it's like it's cool. It's okay. I mean, when did doing coke and pills and all the other stuff?
Well, I
want to
tell you
okay?
a story, Tom, and this is a story from anybody that's my age and up can tell you. I remember my first time going to my first gay club, like in 1975, Better Days. You could never see anybody. First of all, if you smoke weed, you must have lit it up and put it out because you weren't allowed to do no weed in the club because JB, who was a big, huge bouncer, would chase your ass and kick you out. But cocaine was a thing that was never heard of, not in the 70s. You knew it existed somewhere, but you didn't know it never was close by home. In the clubs, you had after-hour spots that, plus I wasn't really going to those spots, but once in a blue moon, I would go into an after-hour spot where all the straight boys were. You know, I had cousins and stuff that I had to go either give money to or get money from, whatever the case may be. And then in the bathroom stores, you hear somebody going sniffing. But they would never let you see it. You will never see nobody with a bill sniffing coke in public. Out, even if you went to the bathrooms, that person was in a stall and they were sniffing. They were sniffing very quietly. So I didn't start seeing people even sniffing cocaine until, I would say, the mid-'80s. You know, because the 70s, it was, like, very hidden. And plus, coke was supposed to be a rich man's high. It was supposed to be so expensive, and it was at one time, as, you know, anything else has come down to, in prices. But people that did that in their own privacy. And nobody wanted to see you sniff, because if somebody saw you sniff, they'd go, ooh, you a junkie.
Right, right.
You understand what I'm saying? And if they saw you smoking weed in the 70s openly, especially in the neighborhood, people marked you as a drug addict instantly. People's
right.
moms would say, oh, I'm going to tell your mama. You know what I'm saying?
I just got to text Kevin that the people are saying that the girls are starting to do crystal meth now, and I did not know that. Now, I used to, for people who don't know, I used to work in law enforcement, and that crystal meth is a drug that I used to always see associated with white people, especially in the rural parts down here in Georgia. That's a major, major problem.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea that the black people are doing crystal meth, too. I mean, that's just not, historically, that's not a black drug.
You want to know something, Tom? I'm going to tell you this. Yeah. Don't surprise me at all. I'll tell you what else don't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me when somebody tells me, oh, you know, so-and-so got shot at a ball, a security guard shot a butch queen in the bathroom, or like in Newark, New Jersey, I think maybe 4 weeks ago, oh, somebody got shot at the club at the ball. I'm not shocked. If somebody calls me and tells me, do you know, Kevin, that this child, blah, 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 snapped the other child's neck and they carried them out on a stretcher and they were dead upon arrival, will not shock me. Because my thing about the balls now, like somebody asked me in a few interviews recently, well, what is the difference between the balls of yesterday and today? I said, today I'm afraid. You know,
wow.
I'm afraid that if I'm sitting somewhere, a chair is going to come across the room and hit me in the head. I'm afraid that children will jump me. I'm afraid that, because you know what, I'm not supposed to chop you at a ball. I'm not supposed to sit up there and talk back to you. I'm not supposed to tell the truth about what it is that you've done. You know, I'm supposed to sit there and pretend that I'm in agreement with this and I like this.
Right.
You know
right.
what I'm saying? And this is all falling on the mental health, too, the anger, the jealousy, and the hate is unreal. You know, it's like I said, if you know somebody has a drug problem, instead of stepping on them, reading them, and laughing and talking about them, why don't you go help them? And it's obvious that some of these things that's going on, even with I keep referring back to Mike Rope, just Mike, executive director. You know, if he has a problem, help him. Don't be sitting up there laughing at him and this, that, and other. It's a shame. You know what I'm saying? That people need to understand we all need to be supportive. We, you know, stop judging people. Stop acting like somebody's better or less. You know, people have asked me, well, Kevin, you come out and you call people terrorists, HIV terrorists. Well, then stop screwing people without condoms.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And for other people to come back and talk about it now that they're sick. This is what happened. You know, and then when I say something about it, it's like I'm the church lady who took her head off and just sinned because I saw you do what I saw you do. You know, and it doesn't give me any pleasure. Go ahead.
Yeah, Kevin, let's go to the phones real quick. I want to take a couple of callers and see who we have on the phone. I have a caller from the 310 area code. I believe that's in L.A. Caller, you're live on the air with Tom. Go ahead.
I'm just listening.
Okay, well, thanks for listening. All right, I have a caller from an unknown phone number. You're live on the air with Tom. Go ahead. Caller from the unknown number, you're live on the air. Go ahead, please.
I'm just listening.
Okay, thank you. That was an excellent voice disguise.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. But, yeah, Kevin, I think you're right. I mean, I've never been able to figure it out. I'm not saying this in a bad way because I don't, you know, I always looked at drugs as a disease, and the reason why I do is because I've worked in very close contact with people who have drug addictions, and, I mean, even in my own family, you know,
right.
And I've seen what it can do to people. So I always treat people – even when I was working on the street in law enforcement, I always treated people who I knew to be hooked on drugs. I always treated them differently because I know it's an addiction. I know it's a disease. And I wish we started to, I wish we treated it that way, even in our court system. You know, people, we tend to want to punish drug abusers and send them to jail, but that's really not the answer because jail does not solve, it doesn't heal a disease like drug addiction because eventually they come out of jail and they go right back to drugs. So what have you really solved other than to perpetuate the problem, if anything?
Yeah,
cause
the
they
same
can act,
cycle. The
right,
same
they can
cycle
access
over
it in,
and over.
Right, they access it in jail also.
But then you know what, Tom, though? That's what I'm saying. It's like, you know what, people don't seem to understand. Like when I said OCD, bipolar, depression, schizophrenia, anxiety, all of these are part of mental illnesses. And most people suffer from one mental illness or another of some kind. But when you see that you're out of control, then you gotta seek help. You gotta go to seek a therapist. You gotta get into talking to a psychiatrist. You gotta get into helping yourself. You just don't sit there and let yourself die, or let yourself get worse. You know, but the problem is the first thing is admitting it.
Mm-hmm.
Admittance, it's like 50% of your problem is solved just by admitting it.
And hey, you know what else, Kevin, too? And maybe we're going to have you back in another couple of weeks because I want to do a show talking about suicide and that kind of thing because a lot of people may not admit it, and I'll be the first to admit it, but suicide, I think, is a very real issue in our community, especially now. It's like a growing problem, and I think that's all tied into mental health as well.
Yeah.
Because and people wouldn't believe this, but there have been times where I have contemplated it. I don't think I would ever do it, but I have. And I think one of the reasons why is because I'm a success-driven person. I have a lot of goals set for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I don't feel as though I have reached the point where I want to be in terms of success and accomplishments. And, you know, sometimes you get depressed when you start to think of all the things that you want to do and have not yet done. But then I'm reminded of all the things that I have done and where I have come from. And so, you know, I have to take it all in perspective. Now I know how to do that, but before I didn't quite understand how to do that. And so, you know, I drive myself real hard, and I'm always pushing myself. And sometimes I just feel like I haven't pushed myself hard enough, or I haven't gotten to the point where I want to be.
I have something special to tell you. Listen, I used to tell people, everybody, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, I want to do this, I can't do that. And you know what I tell them? There's one thing about this life that we do know. I mean, I love George Benson's song about everything must change, and there's nothing you can be sure of except rain comes from a cloud, the sun lights up the sky, and hummingbirds do fly. But when you feel the way you feel sometime, and all of that is natural, everybody has felt it at one time or another. There's nobody that walks around this earth alive has not felt about, oh, God, I'd be glad I just might drop dead or something. You know what I'm saying? Or gotten depressed. Or whatever. But you know what I always tell them? Go to the wards of Sloan Kettering Memorial Hospital, the cancer hospital in New York City, or walk through an AIDS unit where people are in their last stages and the morphine does not work. And listen to them crying and screaming and moaning in pain because there's nothing else that they can give them. And then think about your problems and how you feel.
Right. Let's take
Keep
another
remembering
caller.
That. Keep remembering it. Keep, when you see that wheelbound chair person coming towards you with no legs and stuff, keep thinking about how bad your problems are.
Right, right.
Okay? It's something that we lose track of. But I'm telling you, the sounds of screaming voices from cancer patients and people who have AIDS and people who are really doing bad and there's nothing else that can be done from whatever disease they have, from lupus to whatever, you have to be grateful. And you have to be thankful, and you have to be blessed, and you have to know that, wow, just like me, I'm 50 years old. I don't have the boat yet, and I don't ever know if I'm going to get that boat. I got a little boat that I put in my bathwater. I don't care if people talk about me, but, you know, I'd rather have – those are my little idiosyncrasies. But I'm saying that I'm so grateful, you know, and I'm going to tell you what I'm very – if you ask me, Kevin, I mean, what makes you sad? What makes me sad is that I remember going to Avis Pendarvis' house. I remember going to Dorian's house. I remember – you know, when I was growing up and watching them, like I said, oh, Miss Avis just took those curtains down and made a gown. Or, oh, my goodness, Miss Dorian just took that tablecloth and made a bed sheet, you know. And I'm just saying their talent was so phenomenal, and they left here.
Right,
and
exactly.
The world never got a chance to see it. Now, I'm going to give a shout-out to Ross Infinity. He probably, if he's on the line, I want him to know I love him very much. And Ross is so creative. You know, if you look at him in the How Do I Look film, he is – that boy can make so, I mean, he is a genius. He should be working for Hollywood for making costumes, futuristic, bizarre, horror, whatever. I know that he would do better than most of those people that are in Hollywood. And this is what my point is. There's a lot of people that don't know, don't have the business sense or may not know how to get connected to where they need to be. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of it, they probably think, well, I'm not really interested. It's not that you're really interested. You don't want to put forth the effort. There's a lot of things that hold us back under mental illness because let me tell you something. What else could it be? Why wouldn't you want to go take your talents and make phenomenal money around the world? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, to leave this earth and not leave a mark is very, very sad. You know, like I'm already in a time capsule. I actually did the first, was a part of the first AIDS quilt. And one of the patches on there was for the Ball community, and the other patch was for the House of Omni, which they folded it up. It was on the lawn of Washington, D.C. They folded it up and put it in a capsule. When I think about how do I look will be, you know, will outlive me for years to come as references to the Ball community of its existence, you know. And just me personally having given all my love and time to my little nephews and niece, you know, and just – being there for people, and being there for the cause. You know,
Kevin, somebody just texted in to say they love you, and they're listening to you right now to say they love hearing your conversation and hearing you talk. How does that make you feel?
Makes me feel really good. It really does. I mean, I actually got a message on the Shade Board where somebody asked me, was I going to bring in my own mental health records? But I just wanted to let them know that, you know what, I just remembered that, and I wanted to say to that person, yes, because you know something, I was so depressed about my friends dying and me trying to escape with drugs, and that wasn't even enough. I actually went to therapy for over 6 years, and I talked about it, and I dealt with my problems, and guess what, I still see my therapist every now and again now. You know what I'm saying? Because you know something? It's a struggle. How could you lose over 400 people and then feel like you're normal?
Right.
You know, and that's just the people out there. What about when Grandmama left? My grandmother was 98 when she died, but I was 29 going on 30, and I was so spoiled by her that I'm still like, she should have lived to be 109. I wanted her here more, you know?
Right.
I mean, and now I'm looking at my aunts. They're all in their 80s. There's four of them. And my mother's the baby. And it's like my reality hurts. I mean, 10 more years, do I know if any of them going to be here? With numbers like 87, 85, 83, 81, you know what I'm saying? It's like
right.
My reality is like I'm getting ready to lose all of my aunties that I grew up with. So you know something? It will cause me a great depression, and you know something? I'm going to keep on going and helping myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't find anything wrong with it. Other people are like, oh, yeah, Chuck, she needs a psychiatrist. You know something? You can laugh and joke about anything you do in life, but you know something? Life is precious. Just like those three that just got tragically killed. You know, when I look at me, and like I'm telling you, all of my friends is gone, and I'm still here, I know God is blessing me. I know that, you know, he has more work for me to do. I know that, you know, through my church, through the things I do for the hospitals and stuff, all of my blessings keep coming back because whatever you put in the circle is what's going to go around. You know,
right.
And it's like, I don't know what else to say, Tom. I just want people to understand, if you have a problem, don't sit idly by. Do something about it.
Well, everybody, I want to, Kevin, I want to say a special thank you to you for coming on as we wrap up your segment.
Okay.
I really appreciate you taking the time out to come on to talk to us and to share your experiences and, you know, your life experience and your ballroom experience, because I think it's important that we seek the wisdom of those that are older and have gone before us. I mean, what better way to do things right than to follow the path that's already been laid out? You know, if you know that, you know, you're walking down the street and there's a hole in it, you've seen someone ahead of you fall in that hole, why would you walk right in the same hole that somebody else has already fallen into, you know?
That's right.
And so I guess that's a simple way to put it, but that's reality, you know. But, again, I do want to thank you for coming on. It's really been a pleasure hosting you.
Oh, I enjoyed it myself. I really
did.
I
hope that you will come back sometime in the future and talk with us again.
Oh, of course. I'll be listening to the show regularly.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'll be calling in myself. But
excellent.
I want to say thank you to everybody out there. But remember, prayer is what we all need. And just being honest is the best thing that we can do for everyone.
Right.
You know, and may God bless everybody, and let's get it together, people. And just for the agencies, let's demand more professionalism. Let's demand what we deserve. Let's fight, because right now our black AIDS organizations are in trouble with no funding, so we're going to have to do something about it. We're going to have to maybe protest, march, whatever it takes, you know, but just don't be sitting down and expecting everybody else to do the work. You know, we all have to pitch in. And as far as your health upstairs, never put that second. Let that be priority. And I love you,
right.
Tom, and I thank you for what you're doing. I want to just say goodbye to all the people out there, including the House of Omni and my grandchildren, the Richmonds, and et cetera, and I'll see everybody also at the greatest ball on earth on August 7th. You
yeah,
know I'm
no,
a beat here, because that's a history ball, baby. That's the real
right.
History. You know?
On August the 2nd. Somebody just texted before you go. Somebody just texted and said, tell him he looks good. They didn't know you were that old.
Oh, wow. Well, you know something? I think it's that I drink milk. I drink some milk. I take vitamins. I really do get my rest, and I do exercise whenever I can. And, you know, that's basically it. And I think you got to keep yourself away from stress. Stress
right.
will make you age. Stress will make you look. You know, because I only got two things of gray hair, two little gray hairs, and I cut them out as often as possible. So anyway, Tom, I love you, and we'll talk, Tom.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right,
ladies and gentlemen, that was Kevin Omni joining me on the show tonight. I want to thank him so much for coming on. I had Rhonda coming back on, but for some reason, this damn computer thing is just having some issues tonight. It's really having some serious problems because the site just froze on me. So I can't get Rhonda back on. So I'll try to see if I can reboot this thing and at least have a closing of a show. But, again, I want to say a special thanks to Rhonda Jenkins for being with us today and for Kevin Omni for coming on the show. And, yes, I'm about to get my massage. Somebody just said, get my massage and go to sleep. Yes, that's exactly what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to be going right to sleep, but again, thank you guys for listening. Y'all stuck with me because I'm telling y'all I was rushing trying to get back home, and I got caught in all that traffic and that construction. And there I was stuck in my car all the way in Snellville. And for those of y'all that don't know, that's like 30, 40 minutes from my house because I live downtown. So I'm trying to drive, do the show from the car on my Sidekick and on my phone. And I'm glad I didn't have a crash because there was a whole lot going on. But anyway, thank y'all so much. We'll be back tomorrow at 9 p.m. Eastern time. Haven't decided what topic I'm going to do tomorrow, but I'll have it figured out by tonight or tomorrow afternoon. I'll put it on walk for me. Keep in mind that the funerals for Eric Reese and Juicy are this weekend. I think Eric's is going to be Sunday at 3 o'clock. Larry LaPerla has a funeral rate, a discount at his hotel in Louisville. For those of you that are going up there for the funerals, you can contact Larry at LarryNKY on Yahoo and get more information from him if you want to go up and show your respects and pay your respects to the families. And let's keep them in your prayers, please, because those families are definitely in mourning and they need to be lifted up in prayer, and I hope y'all would do that. So thank y'all so much for listening, and I'm going to sign off. Have a good night.